Due to COVID, schools have softened the grading, testing, and disciplining rules. Boy, we talked about this yesterday. It erupted on the show, and teachers are so frustrated that they can't flunk kids. There's no consequences for late assignments. I'm not even getting into the discipline, just the teaching and grading rules. The teachers feel really hamstring them, that they're not able to mark kids down, and when an assignment is turned in late, the kids get to, they don't have to have it on time, they get to turn it in late, and then after they turn it in late, you give them a grade, and then if they don't like the grade, they get to redo the assignment. It's just bending over backwards to not flunk anybody, to not ask the kids to work really hard, and to ensure that everybody gets the best possible grade they could possibly get. One teacher told us yesterday that he was accepting assignments for the end of the school year in August before the start of the next school year. So the sophomore sociology reports were turned in just before the start of the junior year, and he had no control over that. Okay, so we asked you about that. What do you think about this softened grading, testing, disciplining procedures? 7% of you said it's a good idea. The kids are still catching up. 23% of you said, well, that might be a good idea, but I think it's gone too far and too long. 23% said that. 70% said, this is a bad idea. Let's get back to discipline and consequences in the schools. But I'm telling you, the schools are not much doing that. We'll get to that again in a little bit here. And if you have something to say about that, you can call right now or text 312-981-7200. It was an eye-opener for me. And by the way, I don't even talk about disciplining kids who misbehave or what you do with their smartphones, because that's a constant source of distraction for the kids and the teachers. But the idea that you can't flunk somebody, that you just go over, like homework assignments was just fascinating to me. They call them formatives. Summatives are the term papers and final exams. I understand the use of those words, I guess. Formative, you're still forming, learning, and summative is the end of that. Okay, how did you do? But on the formatives, the homework, at least a couple of the schools we discovered yesterday, there's no grade. Because the kids or the educators have decided that if you're doing homework assignments, you're still learning algebra. You're still learning French. You're still learning English 2 or Shakespeare. So if when you go home and work on it, and then you turn it back in and you didn't get them all right, well, that's because you haven't learned it yet. You shouldn't be penalized for that. And so there's no grading for the homework. So guess what happens with the homework? The kids don't do it because a zero in your homework does not reflect on your overall grade. I can't believe this. Hokey smokes. Okay, let's talk to Tom. You're on WGN. Tom, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
Yeah, you know, this works the other way. The schools that, you know, are graded get to get, you know, sort of thumbs up how well they've done in by passing the kids when they really haven't passed. So the principals probably love the outcome as far as being graded. As the school's graded.
No, I get your point. I hadn't thought about it that way. Tom, thank you. I'm going from you to Ron. You're on WGN. Ron, what do you want to say?
Well, I've been a retired teacher, taught for over 39 years, and I'm glad I'm not working now because what's going on now is really ridiculous to not require time frames. I'm sure in the radio business there, if you would tell your boss, I really don't want to start at 10 o'clock. Maybe I'll wait until 10:15 or 10:30 to start my program. They probably wouldn't let you do it. So they're not preparing kids for life. Life is full of time constraints, and they have to learn to deal with that. And also, too, as far as homework goes, there's no way you can get everything in a 45-minute classroom period. And homework prepares you for the next day, prepares you for what you're learning. It's like practicing for a game. You have to practice outside of the game to get prepared for the game.
That is so true. And, you know, so many of our listeners have said stuff like that to us. Ron, what about somebody said yesterday, I don't want to walk across a bridge that was designed by a student who wasn't graded on his homework. I get that point. Life's just not that way. And if we needed to make accommodations because we absolutely did during the pandemic, then are we out of the pandemic yet? Can we start to hold kids more accountable is the question. And right now, the answer is no. Ron, thanks for the call. Boy, a lot of folks said, I'm glad I'm not teaching anymore, or I'm retiring now. I'm even quitting early. In fact, I think that was Chris who said that. Hey, Chris, are you still there? You're back on the air with us today. How are you?
Hi, great. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate you bringing this issue to light, because I feel like the public just has no idea what's going on inside school, the school system. It's such a different world.
So we talked about it yesterday, and I just have a half a minute here, but you have been teaching at Stevenson, right?
Yes.
And you're not going back in the fall?
That's right. I resigned after, I have 25 years teaching total, 23 at Stevenson.
So would you have retired anyway, or was it, what finally tipped you over?
It was this past winter when, this is a problem, I posted my resignation letter online too, and you could read it. It goes back to 2013, but this past December, I had about 20 kids not turn in a final paper, and I went into school asking, administration, what do I do? What, I just don't understand. How am I supposed to grade this? It's not fair to me. It's not fair to the kids. And they told me, like, I'm not allowed to complain. I mean, I was upset, but I was upset for the kids, you know? And so I said, well, I can't do this. And then I found out my blood pressure was high, which, you know, big
I said
big
this
surprise.
To my son. Let me tell you this. I said this to my son. If I were especially a social teacher in the social sciences, English, something like that, really
yeah.
any of them, but I would take it personally if I said to the kids, hey, I'm here busting my ass for you guys every day. Now, come on. Do it for me. We're in this together. And they just kind of say, I'm not doing the work. I mean, break my heart.
We have great kids. Stevenson has great kids. But the kids will say to me, because I'm one of those teachers that has that relationship with them, Mr. Salturo, listen, it's nothing personal, but like, if this isn't going to be graded, I have too much else going on.
What do you make of that? What do you make of that explanation?
For me as a teacher? I think the kids are 16 years old, and they are looking at what's the
path
reward,
of least resistance.
What's the motivation?
Yeah. Boy, that's fascinating. Listen, I got to go, Chris. We'll talk again down the road. But if people wanted to read your explanation, your description, where do they find that?
I tweeted it to WGN Radio yesterday.
All right. Well, then I'll grab it and post it myself. How does that sound?
Hey, great. And I'm Sociology Sal on Twitter. That was where it is. So
Sociology Sal on Twitter. Nice to talk to you, Sociology
Sal.
Hey,
thank you.
Have a good day. Yeah. Lots of parents, lots of teachers calling in the last couple days, frustrated with how the kids are being taught and graded. But 815 said, people who did not study child development and learning should not be the only voice that you showcase. Good point. Hey, Steve, you're on WGN. What did you want to say, Steve? You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks, John. And well, I'm glad you got that last little note in from the person about, those that are not in the field need to be careful about what they say, because otherwise I was afraid I was going to be spouting evil here based on the preponderance of texts and calls you've received. I currently work as an administrative coach and mentor up in Northwest Northern Illinois, retired educator and principal. And based on a lot of the conversations I've had over, I've been doing this for 8 years now, typically after meeting with administrators and talking about problems they're facing, very often the grading and homework stuff comes up frequently as a real concern, and that usually leads to me getting into their buildings and leading discussions with their teachers about just reexamining the way that we do business, and I start my presentations usually by putting a question out there, name one thing that hasn't changed in the last 100 years. And the truth is that traditional grading practices have not changed. The way that we administer grade students today, the same way that we were graded when we were in school, which is the same way our parents were graded, which is the same way our grandparents were graded. And it doesn't make any sense. And, the like it or not, the kids that we're dealing with today are not the kids that were in school buildings 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. As educators, we are competing for their attention and their time. And we need to do a much better job of convincing them that what we do is important. And if we don't make shifts in the way that we deal with kids, we're going to lose more and more of them. It's just, we can't change it. That's just the way that, that society has shifted. And if education doesn't adjust to that, we're going to lose. And a big part of that comes down to, kind of narrows down to, homework and grading practices, because the current system sets kids up for failure. And especially when you focus on high school, that becomes an even bigger problem, because by the time kids get to high school, after 12, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of education, they know what failure looks like and feels like. And they are more quickly going to shut down if they don't see that there's a path to success. So if we are punishing them with our old-fashioned grading systems, of course they're going to shut down.
Is a casualty of that the students who do the work, who would achieve but aren't being asked to, and so they lose their enthusiasm? I mean, what about the kids who would do the schoolwork?
Well, I came, and my background in this is I was an administrator in a district that made the switch away from traditional gradings. We went to standards-based grading. I think that's a pretty heavy lift for most districts. But we did make a shift away from traditional grading, and it was very difficult to do, more so on the part of the adults than it was on the part of the kids. But I can tell you that it was a huge success for us. And it boiled down to, I can talk to you for hours about this, but it boiled down to two main things. We re-examined the role of homework in our practices, and we re-examined the way that we assign grades. And the big things about homework, you mentioned formative all the time, which is the term that's used for that. But what formative really means is it's work that should be used to inform whether learning is occurring. And that means it's going to inform the teacher whether the kids are grasping what you're putting out there. And it's also going to inform the students as to whether they are truly understanding what you're doing.
But let me interrupt you. But I remember getting better at and learning some things on my own via my homework assignments. And the parents and the students are telling me that since those don't count, there's no points assessed, that the students are less inclined to do them, and they are losing these learning opportunities at home. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say first, John, that when you were, and I fall into that exact same category, but we did not have the ability to be distracted and 100% connected through social media and through everything else. That we didn't have as many alternatives. We had three TV stations and a radio that could have been alternatives to us doing homework.
Yeah.
So, I am not at all saying don't do homework. I'm just saying that the homework has to be assigned so that it's meaningful and the kids understand why they're doing it. And our number one rule that I proposed and that we did that was successful is if a teacher assigns homework, then you have to start the next class period going over the homework with the students. Otherwise, it's not formative work. Because if you assign homework and the kids come in the next day and you go over it and they don't understand it, then you can't just keep going.
Let me ask you this,
Steve.
You
didn't connect with them.
That sounds like a good idea to me, what you just said there. You're making good sense here. Steve, what about the parents? A lot of us who are on the outside looking in, my kids have since graduated high school, are like, well, where are the parents? If your kids aren't doing the schoolwork, if they're skating, as the Nutria mom said a minute ago, then that's on the parents. How much responsibility do they bear?
Well, they should bear a lot, but in an analysis, there's a thing called the root cause analysis that we do with schools when it comes to grading and homework practices. And one of the rules of a root cause analysis is that you can't factor in things that you can't change.
Yeah.
We can't change parents. I do a lot of work in Rockford, which is a very difficult district. And, you know, frankly, there's just a lot of kids that go home to an environment where homework is not even a possibility. It's just they don't have an environment where they can sit comfortably and do it. They don't have support that they need. They may not have the technology that they need. They may be just trying to figure out how they're going to get through the night so that they can get to school the next day. So putting you know, we're putting those kind of students at a tremendous amount of risk. And then, if we had more time, I would get into the grading practices as well. But
we don't, Steve. You know, let's do this. We're out of time.
Okay.
You just called in, and I'm so glad you waited, and I'm so glad you're talking to us. Why don't you talk to my producer off the air, and we'll arrange to interview you at greater length this week or next, because I'm telling you, what you're saying is as important as what our listeners have been telling us, and we've only been getting one side. So why don't you join us again soon, okay?
Great. Thanks, John. I appreciate that.
Please hold the line. How about that? Part two of our What's Going On in the Schools conversation, where the kids aren't being graded, where there are no deadlines, where if they turn something in eventually, way past the deadline, they then get to revise it. Our caller a moment ago, Steve, who said he's an administrative coach, he teaches teachers and school administrations how to better teach and grade these days. He said the landscape is changing. He said, name something that hasn't changed for 100 years. The world is different. I'm compelled, maybe the wrong word, but I get his point. Like he said, when you used to do your homework, John, there were three TV stations and radio. Literally, when I went up to my bedroom, I remember when we got an electric typewriter, and I'm not even 1,000 years old. I mean, it was just so, there was no distractions. Were you lucky? Did you have a TV in your bedroom? And then what were you going to watch at 8 o'clock at night on a weeknight? There was nothing on, for crying out loud. Now, you have to find a space in your home where the kids don't have access to electronics, to the internet, to their friends, to social sites. So this idea that it's not realistic to say, well, when I was a kid, makes some sense to me. I don't know how I would have done. I don't know how my kids would have done if there was that much access. And by the way, my kids also enjoyed the luxury of being my sons who just have a bigger house with a nicer room with more access to learning at home. And not everybody has that. 815 said, thank you for featuring an administrator who is looking forward, not backward. This is where we teachers are today, and they should be if we're not. You absolutely cannot argue that the things are different than when you absolutely can't argue that things aren't different than when you were in school. You put a lot of weight on someone's neighbor's nephew when you're just stoking the fire. Well, I don't think we've just been stoking the fire. I'm not hitting this hornet's nest for fun. I promise you that. Well, what was the NewsClick results? Most of our listeners are very frustrated by what's happening in the schools and how kids aren't being held accountable. And his job, Steve's job, is to sort of push this sled up the hill to get people on board to say, I know you don't like it, and I know the kids aren't getting it right now, but we have to change how we teach or what we expect from kids. It doesn't mean we need to make it easier. It doesn't mean we need to have them learn less, but that's what's happening right now. This transition sucks. Christine in Bucktown says, how many back-to-back one-hour meetings every day, 5 days a week, would you sit through on topics you don't care about, often delivered poorly, and then do the homework connected to it? Science supports what your caller was saying. Well, I don't think, Christine, what you're describing there is ideal. But, I don't know, I sat through one-hour meetings 5 days a week every day for 16 years. I mean, it can be done. But his point about the things that compete for people's attentions these days cannot be denied. Now, some of you said that the world we live in now, if you can't pay your taxes on time, you get a break. If you've got a student loan, you don't have to pay your student loan. If you can't pay your property taxes, or if you're just down on your luck, we send you money. And so now we expect the kids to be accountable. It all starts there, John, said somebody.